South Harmony.
South America's game.
This is America's game. Now, South Harmony's everything can change. That Warped Tour make you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Started who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. South Harmony intros always go the hottest. Cause this is America's game.
Hey everyone, welcome back into America's Game, episode number 68. I'm your host, Eric Vanek. You can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. Follow the show at America's Game Pod as well. And this week, returning to the podcast, been quite a long time, man. Adam, what's going on, buddy?
It has been a minute, man. I was actually, as I'm sitting here listening to that, and like, I mean, I listen to it all the time, but see, when I see it, and I'm getting ready to go on the show a little more hyped up, I'm like, man, it has been a little bit of time. I don't remember when the last time I did it, because it's been a good grip, man. It really has.
Yeah, probably off-season, I would guess.
Yeah, definitely some point in the off-season. I was actually trying to go back and think. It's been long enough to where I can't really specifically remember. I've also been on enough of the shows where it's not like I can pinpoint exactly which one it was, but it has been it has been several months. I'm excited to do this one, man. It's interestingly enough, tomorrow for yourself, big day, and mine is on the 16th, so got a couple birthdays lined up. Let's have a good time, and it's kind of crazy, man. We're already at the point of the playoffs being around the corner. Can't hardly get my head around that.
Yeah, week 11 is this week for the NFL, so yeah, right around the corner for fantasy playoffs. Week 15 for most of us is when it kicks off, so man, we literally have like a month before the postseason starts here for us. Thanksgiving games, that's kind of like when I'm like, oh shit, it's time to get going kind of mode. I don't know if you're always like that too, but those Thanksgiving games rolls around and I'm like, oh shit, it's time to go.
Yeah, actually, it's right about now, weirdly. Like, I don't really care anymore at this point in my life for, like, you know, birthdays or doing anything for it. But when my birthday comes around, everybody else is like, hey, you know, birthdays, happy birthday, all that. And it gets me in the mindset of like, yeah, it's time to. The only thing I'm really thinking about at that point that I would like is, let me go ahead and get my contenders a little stronger. Like, let me see if I can. Yeah. I want to go buy a title. You know what I mean? That's what I want for my birthday. I'm ready to lock in a ship.
Right. Yeah. So I'm like for that. And are the Browns doing good? And it's usually nope, they're dog shit. So I have to kind of wait on that one.
Unfortunately, man, we are as bad as I personally would have imagined it being. A lot of things happened for us, unfortunately, this year. Like, the shape of the offensive line going into this year was a serious problem, especially because when we were halfway decent, is like the offensive line was a big reason why we were in the mix. The Browns are terrible.
All those injuries early on.
Dude, there was a point in the season, like week three maybe. It was right after, like, we literally didn't have a healthy offensive lineman at a point. Like, Teller was out.
Yeah.
Teller's really great in the ground game. There's so many players that, like, cumulatively, when you add them up, it's like, this offensive line is terrible. And then we found out, like, I was very afraid of and becoming more weekly alert to, like, number four just ain't it, brother, at all.
Yeah, that too. I will be certainly glad when Jedrick Wills is gone, because he's terrible.
And not to mention, he's a bullshit too. Terrible mindset. When he, imagine admitting that too, like admitting
right that, I would not, just sit him the rest of the year, here's your business decision.
You know what's crazy about that though is like that somehow some way, bro, we know how to pick him. Like, that mindset and culture feels to only be something that happens in like Cleveland. I don't know if you remember years ago when like Joe Hayden got suspended for Adderall back in the day. And it was that year we were terrible. We had guys like not coming to the plane by the time the game started. Like, everybody was so tapped out by the end of the year. It's like, they literally don't even care about playing football. Like, somehow we get those type of players that like they don't actually want to be there come game day. Or if it's not perfectly going right for them, give a shit. They're out.
Like, yeah, they could care less. Yeah, they tapped out. Yeah, there's a lot of those guys like that. Hopefully clean those guys out of here. But
feels like we need to, you know?
Yeah. Let's clean up some fantasy rosters, though.
Okay.
For this playoff run. So what I'm thinking about doing on this episode here, we're going to kind of go over... I did this episode last year. I think me and Mike did it, but it's hammer time. I want the hammers for my fantasy playoffs. So we're going to go over some of the guys at each position, talk about who we think going the rest of the way are going to be like the key hammers at each position and what we think you could kind of trade them for. So, you know, go acquire them for what it's going to cost. So
let's do it.
So I got Wart pulled up here for one of my leagues, just kind of like the main league or generic, standard type league. Yeah, it's generic scoring, nothing crazy. The only difference is like a 2-point tight end premium, but
okay.
Go
ahead and leave that, because that's like, it needs to be at least that for tight ends to matter, even in the slightest, you know?
Right. So I'll start it off here with the quarterbacks. I think, obviously, it's probably one of the MVP front runners, and that's Lamar Jackson again. I think that is definitely going to be one of the hammers from here on out. And kind of just looking at his schedule from here on out, too, I was looking at earlier. So he's got the Steelers this week in Pittsburgh. Should be a tougher game, but should be a good spot for him. Mm-hmm. Then they have the Chargers on Monday Night Football, week 12. And that's the Thanksgiving. No, that's the week before Thanksgiving. And then the Ravens play in week 13. Where are they? They play the Eagles. That should be a really good game with Philly coming to Baltimore.
These are really good games.
Yeah, I mean, games where they're going to have to put up quite a bit of points. Yep. Week 14, they play... week 14 is their bye, so that's, you know, he gets a nice little bye.
That was the one thing I was actually going to mention is with him, if there is any downside, which I really don't believe there's much, that's literally it, is if you can't afford buys right now, because he's one of those. Week 14 buys stink, man. They're the worst.
Yeah. There's like six teams on week 14 bye, and we had like what, week 8, there was nobody on bye. Like, we couldn't fucking throw three or four guys on bye that week. Like, what are we doing?
So week, what was that? Week 10. No. It was week 8. It was that when I, what was funny was doing the Halloween recap that ended up having the disaster happen during it was software. I remember because it was that week that I was making all these holograms and crazy things. It's like, there's not a single bye this week. Everybody's playing. There was 13 games from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And now we have a bye apocalypse on week 14. Why are you doing this to us?
Dumb NFL. And then his playoff games. So he's got on the road against the Giants. Not scared of that at all. Then he has the Steelers at home, I believe it is. Yep, Steelers at home.
Yeah, they still got two games versus Steelers.
Week 16 and then week 17, they on Christmas Day, they play at Houston, which should be another high-scoring, good game. So Lamar is set up for the playoffs. And like you said, the only thing that's a little negative is the week 14 bye. But, man, Lamar for the rest of the year, that's definitely the guy I want to get. He's worth at least three first-round picks or a player that's worth a first-round pick. I'm almost to the point where I would be okay giving up Mahomes and something to go get him. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny thinking about how information changes so quickly today. And, like, the way in which Mahomes, I would say, not this time last year, but early 2023, Mahomes is like Godfather offers. Like, just if you can acquire, if Mahomes is to be had, if Mahomes is to be had, you just go make that trade. Like, you just go do that. We're now at the point where Mahomes is like fake dynasty value. the value in his dynasty of an asset, either if it's kind of not shifted to where you can pivot away from him, like you're saying, Lamar, Eric, the one issue about buying him, and when you're talking here, like, I agree, I would do that. And the reason that I think that it's important to note that is because, like, Lamar Jackson probably isn't to be had because he is keeping teams that aren't really well built very much alive. So like he's almost so damn good this year that the team is going to have to be some hot dog water in order to like actually be willing to send him away. So
that's true.
I do believe though, if I can get Lamar, man, I'm doing it. The thing about Lamar, the teams I have him on, those teams are in second, third, or first place, all of them.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some of the teams in the leagues that I'm playing against where I'm in fourth or fifth, and I'm like, man, they're kind of taking a little bit more of a closer look because I'm kind of dialing in on those leagues right now. And I'm looking, teams in first and second place across a lot of these leagues, Lamar, just he is right now in fantasy, absolutely, in my mind, the 101 if I was drafting today. Like, we were doing a startup. He's ridiculous. I think his progression as a passer has been
I got
unreal.
Him so much this year. Like, I picked 104 in, like, three or got four startups, and I caught him at 104 every time. I just couldn't pass him up.
You know where I got most of my Lamar was in 2023 when, going into the offseason, people were really saying Lamar might not play that year. Because he had an extension.
Yeah.
I look at some of those trades. Man, I've made some really bad trades I look back on, but those were great trades. Like, those were trades that they set your team up for years to come.
And then,
anyway, to
looking,
your point, I would do Mahomes for a first. Yes. I was just going to say.
I mean, Mahomes and a first for Lamar is what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. I would do that, man. Because the thing about the quarterback position.
I'm with you on that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I think I'm with you on that. I was just kind of looking at keep, trade, cut, too. Like, Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts is the top four. Lamar is obviously number one.
Well, that's what I was going to say with the quarterback position just quickly is, to me, it's a have and have nots. Meaning, do I have a God-tier guy or not? Because if I can get that player in Superflex, I definitely still want that player tremendously. But the reality of Mahomes is he's very much more in the mix of just mid and becomes a lot more replaceable. So I'll overpay in a sense if I had to. To get a guy that I think Lamar that can be in that elite tier and separate from the field. I feel like right now what I'm seeing from Mahomes, I'm not going to doubt his talent or that at some point in the future, or even this year, he couldn't end up being that guy. I'm just of the mindset that I'm not seeing it right now and I don't believe it's coming in my fantasy year this season.
Right. So I would say Lamar, Allen, Daniels, Hurts. I think all four of those guys, I wouldn't move like Hurts for Lamar, like unless I only have to like give up like a third or something.
I feel like those, they're not worth trying to get anyway. You kind of have the idea already in Hurts or in Jaden.
Yeah. So the next guys after Hurts is Burrow, Stroud, Mahomes, Jordan Love, Caleb Williams, but probably like Burrow, Stroud, Mahomes, Love. Like, if I can tier up from those guys to go get Lamar, I would.
I'll be honest with you. I'm to the point. In on
any
a contender,
of those guys and a first?
On a contender, if it's my first, yep. At this point in the year, if you're a contender, you know you're not missing the playoffs, really, right? Like, something catastrophic would have to happen. If I'm sending a playoff first in this 25 class, and any single one of those quarterbacks you mentioned, of Burrow, Stroud especially – man, C.J. Stroud has been so underwhelming in fantasy. It's crazy. Yeah. I'm with you.
And
a first easy on those guys.
I mean, if they ask for a second too, I think I'd do it.
It's not getting in the way of me getting in to a warp god at quarterback. Because the thing about all those QBs you mentioned, they're not just hammers for this year. They're not really going away anytime soon. So I'll make the investment. 100%.
Right. All right. How about you? Who would be like one of your hammer quarterbacks that you would have to have the rest of the season?
Honestly, it's the list is those guys you mentioned, man. Like I don't mean to not have an option here, but at quarterback especially, to me it's do I have a Konami code guy? So Kyler Murray would probably be the guy that doesn't fit the description of those four that I'm still interested in purchasing. He would be one. After that, we're talking like a different tier of a player. Like, if you want to try to go see if you think A-Rich will end up getting a shot back at the job at some point, but that's such a different conversation of cost and like that's a excess play, like a skeptical, like you're being skeptical and hoping in the future that that's something's going to happen. Kyler Murray's probably the only other quarterback. Yeah, because A. Rich was the sixth. Yep, it would be Kyler Murray would be the one I would add. And what would you pay for him?
For Kyler?
And would you are you with me on acquiring him?
His numbers have just been so underwhelming. I don't know if he's one of the guys that I would like have to go get. I think I'd have maybe a couple more guys above him, but he's like in my top 10 at least.
Okay. Yeah, cuz the one thing about him for me, so it's Allen.
Let me see what his schedule looks like.
It's Allen, it's Hurts, it's Lamar, and it's Jaydee are the four that I put as my like actual ones. The reason I have Kyler is right now in War Piece, like I'm just looking at a random 4 point per passing touchdown league. Okay, I'm sure it varies a little bit, but he's number eight in Warp, and he's right on the back of that tier you're talking about, like the second tier guys. What I saw from Kyler versus the Jets, I know the Jets defense and team is not what it was, but he still, I think, offers enough on the ground to where I think there's, as this team's looking better, for me anyway, weekly, I think there's some real upside still in Kyler Murray. If I wasn't able to get one of those four guys, because I think a lot of those four guys will wind up on contending teams, Kyler would be my target.
And then looking at his playoff schedule is really, really nice.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Patriots at home, Panthers on the road, and then the Rams on the road for week 17. Those are three pretty nice games.
Hard to get better than that. Anytime you see a Panthers in your sights, it's like, oh, that's the game.
You do a fucking cartwheel. Yeah. I get it. Josh Allen, Daniels, Hurts. Like, Daniels and Hurts play this week. Just kind of looking at, here's their playoff schedules for all three of those guys. So the Eagles for Jalen Hurts, he gets the Steelers at home, tougher matchup. Then he gets Jaden Daniels in week 16. In Washington, so hopefully decent weather. You never know. And then championship week, the Eagles get Dallas in Philly, and Dallas is dog shit. So that's really good playoff schedule there for him. I mean, I think the Washington game could be a shootout game. Steelers game might be a little rough, but he should be able to get it done. Jaden's games. He gets the Saints in week 15, then the Eagles game, and then the week 17 game, they get the Falcons coming to Washington. So pretty nice schedule there for Jaden, too.
Definitely. Jaden has a nice schedule for the playoffs. I mean, the thing about Jaden is, though, like Jaden of the group in particular is going to be probably the one that's, I don't want to say impossible, but basically impossible to acquire.
He's last year's C.J. Stroud. No, but you had to like give up 9 firsts for C.J. Stroud last year.
And the reason is because even if the team's not competitive, they're like, well, I'm building around Jaden, right? So, like with Lamar or with Allen or with Hurts, you could say, okay, well, here, I'm going to give you excess and pay you a ransom so you get rid of him. People are, in this, especially with seeing what the quarterback position has become this year, they're like, oh, I'm just building around this guy. Like, basically, there's no world in which they're not telling you to piss off in a way, you know?
If you got Mahomes, are you offering Mahomes on a first for Jaden? Maybe a second too. Yeah, same thing. Okay.
Those four guys you mentioned. So it's, to me, it's Allen, it's Hurts, it's Lamar, it's Jaden. Those four guys, I will send a first in Mahomes. I'll send a first in whatever. I know Stroud, in process, Burrow, if you do that too much, if you do that too much, you could end up being burned. But this is at this point in the season, I have a first. I have those in the chamber on my contenders to go spend to get an upper tier warp player, which those guys are 100%.
And then Josh Allen's playoff schedule. He gets at Detroit, which would be a decent matchup as long as he can throw the ball in Detroit, because that's their weakness. Then he gets the Patriots at home, and then I believe he has the Jets in week 17.
Patriots aren't a bad defense, but the that's a nice schedule. The Jets have been
Patriots and Jets for the last 2 weeks, and both of those teams will be out of the playoffs. So
They basically already are, you know.
Already are, yeah. Unfortunately.
That division is starting to feel like the old AFC East, where it's like the Patriots and nobody. It's like that's what it is, except it's the Bills now.
The Bills just keep winning it. Yep. So number two on Warp right now. Is somebody that we didn't really think would be there this year, but is Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
And so they're, well, they're on a bye this week. He gets Mike Evans back next week. Kate Otten stepped up. Some of these other receivers have done okay. They're, I haven't, like, done Chris Godwin things, but
sure.
Is Baker Mayfield a guy that you'd be okay going to get for, you know, and just hope he just peppers the shit out of Evans and these running backs and Kate Otten?
I don't think so. Now, everything has a cost, and I would be willing to at certain spots. He's not a priority for me, I should say. The reason I say that is, like, Evans has a hamstring that obviously is bothering him pretty significantly. I think he'll come back. I think he'll play. I just, if you're telling me he's 100% healthy when he comes back, maybe, because
I'm hoping with a month off. Yeah,
I do too, but he's also older. He's also played a lot, where I'm not going to say he still won't be solid. I just don't think he'll be running around super fresh feeling, meaning you watch that last game they just had with that stiff arm he had on Bosa was just outrageous. Amazing to watch.
Right, baby.
The heart he has is really awesome. But they're down weapons. Now, adding Evans back is a big get. But it just, I don't think for fantasy warp purposes, he's going to have that same upside. Because with Godwin and Evans, man, that was great. You added how Otten's been playing to that lately. I get it. I would definitely be more in on Mayfield. I think realistically right now, though, I could see a world where Mayfield is kind of in the mid-mix, meaning, like, if you look at a warp, I'm looking at a warp line at 4 points per passing touchdown. It's like this Geno line at one, at 10 all the way down to, like, C.J. Stroud and Herbert at 19. It just feels very mid, and at that point, the only reason I would be doing that is if I have, like, a serious hole in my lineup and I'm just trying to not bleed that position at Superflex or something, right? That's okay. Kind of the way I'm viewing Baker.
Okay. So let me interest you. Let's see if I can interest you in this.
All right.
Week 15, first week, he gets at L.A. Chargers. Not a terrible matchup.
Not terrible, not great, yep.
Week 16, at Dallas.
That should be about as cheeky as cheeks get, man. That's a nice one.
Week 17, at home against Carolina.
That's pretty nice. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
That does make the appeal a little better. I think, I guess, here's my answer still. That's better, appealing, but to me it would have to be probably at a price that Baker is not going for. I feel like his warp in how he's played this year is putting him into, like, what do you think the market cost for Baker is right now? I guess this is kind of the question for all players.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I think it's definitely a first. Do you have to add another quarterback back? But it'd have to be, like, a lesser quarterback, like, would you throw in your Derek Carr in a first? Would you throw in Tua in a first?
Yeah,
Trevor Lawrence in a first.
Yeah, now this is where, to me, if I'm purchasing Baker, like, the first asset that I have isn't going, I'm not appropriating it to a Baker player, because right. I'd rather send that first for a warp hammer running back, frankly. Right. So basically, to your point, I would be interested in Baker. I just don't believe the cost makes sense. Meaning, I would have to be willing. It'd have to go more along the lines of, can I send an Addison for a Baker? Like, can I? If I can do something like that, where I'm getting off of an asset that probably doesn't give me the same flexibility that a first does in the market, or something like that, possibly. If you could spend a first, let's say, on Baker, then you can move an Addison plus for a running back, and you get the same thing accomplished, I'd be willing to do that. But that's my hesitation with sending a first for Baker.
Yeah. I don't know if Addison for Baker straight up gets it done.
Is it close enough to where I can add a third, or what would I have to add, do you think?
I think you'd probably have to add, like, a second, if not.
I'd be willing to do that. Something I'm not like that. Going to a first. But Addison in a second, I'd probably do for Baker. Yeah.
I was trying to think of some receivers straight up that you could do. Could you do DK Metcalf for Baker straight up?
You could. I'd hold DK there, though.
Okay. Let's see. Pull up some receivers here real quick.
Yeah, that's a good exercise. Let's see what you could do. Let's do cross-positional.
Would you do JSN for Baker?
Maybe. I'm intrigued. Jayden Reed? I don't know what. Nah, I would hold Jayden Reed.
Jayden Reed, okay. What about Rome?
Yo, that's tough. On a contender, man. I'll tell you the truth. I'd probably be like, I would do it if that was my best case scenario, no other options really existed, I'd probably like
to say you're starting Derek Carr or Caleb Williams as your quarterback two weekly, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that would be, I might do that. I'm so high on Rome, I'd be seeing if I could get some kind of juice, a gross like flex piece back that no one cares about. Mooney's too high, but something in that ilk, like someone that I could throw into my team if I needed a body. Because I'm really high on Rome in the future. Obviously, now his season's just doesn't matter for a contender, but I believe he's too talented.
Okay.
I would do that push come to shove, though.
Okay. Last one. Would you do, or would you have to give up more, too? Would you give up Dak for Baker?
Yeah, that would I would definitely do that. I feel like he might have to give a
grease piece.
And do you
think you'd have to give up more with Dak, yeah?
I think you got to give a grease piece. Like, I would definitely do a third. Would you send Dak in a second for Baker Mayfield right now?
I think so, yeah.
I would too.
Especially if I'm contending, yeah.
The problem is Dak at his – it's crazy, man. A lot can change and quickly. Dak, we were thinking, was going to be this like, plus player at the position. He's becoming a scary asset, bro.
Yeah, so I'm thinking of like guys that are worth like a second, not quite worth a first. So like Dak and Keon Coleman for Baker.
That feels pricey. Lineup start nine, I would do it. Keon's one of those assets where like lineup start nine or maybe even start 10. I'm a little more skeptical he really becomes to fruition in my lineup purposes, right? Lineup start like 12, I'm probably like, nah, man, because I think Keon could end up being good enough to where, I'm not going to call him a roster clogger, but you know what I mean as far as being a difference maker at the position in a more shallow lineup versus a heavier, like start 11, start 12, start 13.
Right. He kind of feels to me like, it remains to be seen if Buffalo gets another receiver, you know, if they keep Cooper or they upgrade Cooper, but he could go down the path of like Rashad Bateman. Like he could be there and be decent, but it's not going to be consistent.
For sure. No, I'm with you. That's
kind of
like,
what I'm feeling with Keon.
I feel, you know what I'm kind of honestly feeling with Keon is like a little bit less, but similar mindset idea of like JSN, but maybe not quite even that type of upside. This something like that where like, Shoddy B, I think, is a bad, like a poor, like the worst case example to be made. I think you're correct, though. But like the ranges of outcomes of like Shoddy B to like the idea of what JSN's becoming before the big blow up game, like, oh, is this guy just, is his name cachet always way more than what his production is? Addison, but like scarier than Addison and JSN, but same idea.
And then I would say, you know, obviously we talked about the main guys up top there. Just looking at a couple of the guys like below that I think you could go get.
That was what I was going to ask.
Good the rest of the year. I think Brock Purdy, with all of his weapons other than Ayuk, I think Brock Purdy is a guy I would go get.
CMC's return was about as good as you could have hoped for.
Right, yeah. What do you think about Bo Nix?
Nah, Bo's got to be coming. If he's not a quiet buy anymore, like I think Bo's starting to become very much a player that you should be targeting. And I think the problem with Bo is that he's probably he's like sunk cost fallacy, but the other way. Like his cost, I think, is going to be higher than people are willing to spend, which is going to keep them from buying it. But he's been great, man. He's been great.
Colts, Chargers, Bengals is his playoff schedule. So it's not terrible.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
He's been, so right now in this 4-point passing touchdown, he's quarterback 9 in warp. I think Bo Nix, I think, is a, if you can't, okay, so let's say you can't go get those four players, right? You can't go get those four rushing hammers. And let's say Kyler, for whatever reasons, either he costs too much or he's not to be had. I think the next guys, if I'm going to purchase a quarterback, Bo Nix is definitely on that next tier list for me, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Huge.
I have Drake May on that list, too, because I really like Drake May from what I've seen so far.
I do, too. My only question about Drake May is, and I'm curious your thoughts, too. Does he end up offering enough rushing? I'm not saying he can't run, but does he offer enough rushing to where I'm Is it worth spending it? Do you think so?
Absolutely. He offers more than Bo Nix does, and Bo Nix has been pretty damn good this year.
The reason, well, you believe that? The reason I don't believe that, I think his talent offers that, but the way they're using Bo Nix is like, all these design runs is crazy. That's why Bo Nix to me is a lot more intriguing than I ever thought he would be. I believe Drake May has tons of talent. I just don't know if he's gonna offer weekly the same rushing floor. I guess that's kind of what I'm saying.
I mean, he's been putting up almost 30 rushing yards a game, same as like Bo. So I put him on the same level.
He's been the thing about Drake May is his improvisation or like scrambling. He'll find if you only send four and everyone's downfield, he could take off for 15, 20 yards anytime. So I get it. Yeah. My only concern is that basically, like, is he gonna ever offer more like 50 yards on the ground a week? If that was the case, I would 100% buy Drake May.
I mean, I think it's a possibility. Now, is he going to hit it every week? No.
No, but of course not. Sure.
I think 30 is doable.
Yeah, 30 is. I guess the reason I say that is it kind of feels like him and Herbert might be similar. They're great quarterbacks. I love their talent. I just don't know if it ends up getting me to the next tier of warp. That's my concern with May. Right. I love the player, by the way, though.
Yeah, I get that. All right, we'll go on to the running backs now after the quarterback talk there. So some running back hammers. I think the most obvious ones, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson, Joe Mixon you can probably put on the list too. One that's third in warp is at running backs is Alvin Kamara. I don't know if I trust Kamara.
Really?
But those other guys I think I like.
Let me ask you on Kamara. I'm pretty interested in this one then. What's holding you back on Kamara?
Just the team is so shitty.
Yeah.
Like there's so many injuries. I mean, yeah, with Derek Carr, it's nicer, but it's all like just fake manufactured PPR shit, you know, catching these 5-6 balls a game, you know, he's getting the 40 yards there. He gets, you know, he's the only thing in the rushing game.
Yep.
So I get it. Like it's not the conventional way that I want it. Like he's doing it on like a really shitty 2-6 team or whatever, or 3-7, whatever they are.
Yeah. They're horrible.
And he's just doing it that way. So yeah, that's kind of what my concern is.
No, that makes sense. I think you hit it on the head for me. The only concern I have for Kamara is Carr going to like be their star? With what they've done in shakeup, do they end up seeing if they have anything in Rattler, if they're awful? Like, because if Carr is the quarterback for me, I feel awesome with Kamara. He understands the assignment. Check it down to Kamara just enough to make sure he's a top 10 option every week. Like, that's the thing with Kamara that's I'm very fond of and believe in. I just don't know if they keep losing to shit teams and they're terrible. Do they like decide to try to see if something else can happen with Rattler or somebody? And then it's like, I don't know if Kamara still offers that same crazy floor that he does currently.
Right. So then he plays Washington week 15, week 16. He gets the Packers in Green Bay. That doesn't seem like an Alvin Kamara game.
Yeah. That one's sketchy.
Yeah, week 17, he gets the Raiders. So if you make it to the championship with him, you get the Raiders. And that could be the Kamara 6-touchdown fucking game again, you know, in week 17.
You know what's funny, though, is as we're talking about this, I think the reason I'm in on Kamara more so than most is because you just mentioned how, like, obviously I think in a vacuum we would all rather have Bijan, Barkley, Derrick Henry, those guys.
Kamara's to be had.
Yeah, I think a lot of people that are on, if you're not contending and you have Kamara, you got to be scared shitless of that. Like, I got to get rid of this guy, you know?
Right.
That's the only reason I'm a little more in on Kamara, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. He's probably the cheapest of these top guys. So, yeah, that makes sense. I can get behind that.
I'm curious. What would you send, not for Kamara, for those other guys, for like the top, the creme de la creme, right? The Henrys,
Derrick
the Barclays.
Henry, Henry would be a first. Like, I don't know if I give up too much more than that. I'd do like a first and a third.
Yeah.
But I ain't going to do much more than that just because of his age and all that. But the dude's just producing. Barkley, you probably have to give up a first and
second,
a pretty decent player, for like a second player, like a first and Keon Coleman type thing.
Yeah, I would do that for Barkley too.
Mixon, I think the same thing as Henry first.
Yeah, I think Mixon and Henry fall below Barkley's tier by just a touch.
Bijan's probably the two first range for Bijan.
Yeah, I think that's the problem for me with Bijan is like, listen, he's actually come on and early on.
Yeah,
it's
the
like,
last
what
month
I'm watching,
he's been smoking.
Yeah, I'm like, what I'm watching early is like, damn, this guy's still really talented. It just wasn't coming through in production. He's really delivering now. My problem is, I don't still want to build around the running back position as healthy as it's been this year and all that. I don't want to build around the running back. It feels like when I'm starting to spend two firsts on anybody, I'm kind of building around you. I don't really want to do that with Bijan. So he's probably the one guy I would try not to purchase because of his cost.
Just looking at his schedule the rest of the way, trying to find his week 16 game or 17 game. Oh, there it is. Okay. Pretty sexy playoff matchups for Bijan. Like, you might have an erection that lasts longer than 4 hours after hearing this one. Falcons okay. and the Raiders, week 15, opening week of the playoffs.
Love it.
Love it. Next one up is, where'd it go? The Giants. So he gets the Giants in Atlanta. Giants are a solid run defense, but
yeah, but
you know, they should be able to give up some points there too.
They're kind of Swiss cheese, and if you're a guy like Bijan or Kamara, you catch a lot of passes too. You forget about it.
Week 17 against Jaden Daniels in Washington, which could be a high scoring game.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty nice. I mean, the other thing is the Commanders, at least on the defensive side of the ball, they don't really scare me per se. I won't say they're a great, great matchup, but they're like that playoff schedule is awesome. I mean,
if you got a couple first and the guy that has Bijan wants to deal Bijan, you know, I'd be fine dealing two first for that guy.
I mean, I would say that I would prefer to go the other ways. I would rather try to see if I get Kamara cheap. Those other guys cheaper. But if you're telling me like someone's just really ready to get rid of Bijan and I had the ability to pay up for him, I'm not telling you I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying like he'd probably be my last option just because I'd rather spend. You should be this way in Dynasty, I believe. I'd rather spend less than more if I can, you know?
Right, right. A couple other guys. So Ken Walker, James Conner, Kyren Williams, those guys are all up there. I think those guys I'd be more than willing to go by.
I'm with you. I think the player you keep going. I'll give you the player that I bought the most of, I was the most excited for, and now more than ever, his cost probably is caught up.
We talked about the Bills and their schedule. James Cook has a really good schedule.
He has a really nice fantasy playoff schedule.
Yeah. And then Devin Achane, man. He gets the Texans.
He's one of those players that I'm really fond of and would love to get if I can.
Yeah. He gets the Texans, the 49ers, and
Niners are tough.
Where the hell is? Oh, and then the Browns in fucking week 17.
Is there a better matchup than that?
In Cleveland, so that could be 4 feet of snow though.
The only good news about that is, you know what Miami's going to do in the snow? Run. Hate the snow. They can't. Tua can't do much in the bad weather. I mean, you're not wrong, though. That's not a good fantasy matchup.
And that defense will be checked out in Aruba by that time. So yeah. You'll have the third string in there. So,
Miles Garrett.
As much chain, of them, probably yeah, Chain could be really, really nice. Yep. Yeah. Did I mention your guy that you were thinking of?
Who? Oh no, not yet. This guy, okay. His warp is higher, but his allure and view in Dynasty is not anywhere near those guys.
Okay.
Chuba.
Chuba. The only thing with Chuba is I just fear Brooks comes in a little bit and chips away a little bit.
I used to. I don't.
But Chuba's been awesome. I agree.
The last week has alleviated that for me. One, the contract they gave him was out of nowhere seemingly and was a sizable amount. And secondly, like they activated Brooks to say that his season isn't over, but he's still not playing at all. Like, I'm not saying he won't come in and take some work. I just think Chuba's playing so damn good right now that he still probably is going to get a snap share even when Brooks comes back. where it's
he's
playing 60%, right? So like at that point,
it's like really Bijan Algier, maybe. Bijan Algier kind of thing.
And at that point, it's like, all right, if you're giving Chuba still 60-65% of the touches or the work out there, brother, like he's gonna be just fine.
What are you willing to pay for Chuba?
Yeah, that's the unfun part. Is it used to be like, man, I can send a third, a couple thirds, and people will be just here. Hey, you have them. Those days are long gone. I think I saw out there in the Discord.
I don't want to do a first, but a second is fair.
I was going to ask you this. Okay. Mike said an early second. I think I'm definitely on board with that still. What I saw in the recap show, because this is, I mean, we're doing this on Tuesday, right? It's still pretty new info here. I saw on the recap someone sold him for 2 seconds. Where are you at on that?
I think that's fair. Like if you're,
I think that's probably it feels expensive, but I think that's like what you might have to send, and I think he's worth sending that for.
Yeah, it's not like he's coming in the next year as a zero. Like they just gave him that contract. Like
that was the thing with Chuba, where I was fine at a third or even 2/3 before, because I'm like, it's a rental that I got right now, right? And I'm hoping he just lands somewhere next year. That whole dynamic has changed. He's not just landing somewhere. You know where it is, and they very much told you it's going to be him and Brooks. So,
I like it for the guy getting the 2 seconds as well, because I can take two swings at this next year's running back class that's coming in, and I love next year's running back
25 class looks great for running backs.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, though. I haven't looked as much into it. You haven't pulled up or you've been reading them off. What is Chuba's playoff schedule look like for the
position? So week 15, the Panthers play Dallas in Carolina, so that's a great matchup.
That's pretty nice.
Then he has he gets the Cardinals at home in week 16, another solid matchup.
That is a good
one.
And
then he has that Bucks in week 17. They're solid against the run, but
none of those are like
scare me.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. So I'm
they're like middle of the road. So like, I think you kind of sold me that maybe Chuba is one of these guys.
Yeah, I would much prefer probably in a vacuum, like player for player, those other guys we've mentioned, Cook, Achan, all those other ones I'd rather have. But I think if you're not trying to go shop at the big boy table, you're not trying to go into the name brand stores, the Nordstroms of the world, like Chuba Hubbard's a real nice player to try to go find.
Yeah, speaking of Nordstrom's, he just came back, Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, boy.
I'm putting him in the first round pick category like Derrick 100%. Henry, but do you have to give up more?
Probably. I don't know.
Comfy with the first and a second?
Yeah, for sure. I think I'll tell you the reason. Like, I feel like people, I want to make sure I make the point, because I get like funny eyes or comments that you're like, what changes? It's not really that. More so the reason what's changed is my team at this point, if I'm sending my first away, is probably at this point pretty locked into a playoff seed, and like, I'm good, right? I don't have the opportunity to, you see how much attrition happened this year, Eric, everybody, like, what if my team with no fault of my own just gets absolutely gaped and I sent a first away for Henry early on? He's great, but my team's not salvageable. So now I got someone else with my early first, and I'm screwed. Yeah. At this point, I'm in a position where the picks are ready to go, right? So 100%. Like, if I end up blowing a late 25 first and a late 25 second on Christian McCaffrey, and he gets an injury setback or my team ends up not winning, so be it. But I don't have that risk of, like, you know, I need to go into rebuild mode and I don't have my future. So I'm 100% in on that.
Okay. I mean, there's so many good running backs
Christian
this
McCaffrey,
year. So
what was cool about him, though, is like he didn't score a touchdown, but man, the workload he just
still
got
had 100 yards, over 100 yards total.
Bro, he Mason and Grendel got a carry a piece. What?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm
100% in on CMC.
Yeah, I mean, the way they used him, I totally agree with you. That's a good matchup, and then. I'm just looking at somebody's matchups here.
Yeah.
Where is he? Okay. Josh Jacobs. He's got 3 decent matchups. That's another guy. I mean, there's so many running backs this year. Jacobs. Jonathan Taylor's been getting fucking used like a horse.
He has been. In that offense, I feel like no matter if they keep Flacco in there or not, it feels like they just have to run the football.
How about Chase Brown?
Chase Brown? Well, he's Chase Brown and some of the other guys out there, the Chubas of the world, they're what make it interesting. It's like,
yeah,
am I better off going down that path where they give me 80-90% of top potential to score just as much as those King's Ransom players?
Yeah.
Or do I go spend up? Because what you talk about this, we can keep going down. We can keep talking about them too. The reason I think it's so interesting is right now, like, name me the running backs that have gone down for this season, this year.
Yeah, there's not very many that I can think of.
None that matter. Like, the whole position is at our disposal week 11. We're normally at the point of, like, damn, we lost
17,
10, 12 like good soldiers, you know? Like, now we have – you have your pick of the litter right now is all healthy, it feels like. So it's the running back position is a great one to trade for at the moment. I mean, obviously, anyone can get hurt next
Things
week.
Things can change, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some guys banged up, but, yeah, like – Tony Pollard's killing it. Najee Harris was doing great. Aaron Jones has been good this year. Yeah. Tyrone Tracy's come out of nowhere. So there's so many running backs to be had right now.
Ken Walker's finally having a good season. Like it's all. I didn't even mention
either Lions running back yet, and they're the best rushing team in the league.
I don't know if you saw the thumbnail. That's going to be an AMA discussion. The Sonic and Knuckles of they call themselves now. Yes. Did you see that?
Yeah. I think
they call themselves Sonic and Knuckles.
I haven't seen.
I think that's pretty funny.
I haven't seen the dog shit of the North one yet, though. I'm waiting on that one.
Yeah, that'll be probably 2 weeks from now. That'll be fun. But the Lions. I mean, they offer two guys that are huge at the position, right?
Yeah. And then I don't know if he's going to play this week, but the Chiefs activated Pacheco.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see. Okay, two things there, right? Kareem Hunt has come on and been a nice, a huge. Dude, I had him stashed on teams, and goodness, like, that's that type of a player that's been producing the way he has is such a huge boost. Like, it's just a guy that you weren't sure was going to give you anything is just – he's been awesome. Do you think that Kareem Hunt, one, muddles up the touches between him and Pacheco, and then two, I'm a little worried. I'm not saying I'm out on Pacheco. I'm just a little worried this injury actually kind of makes him not anywhere near as explosive and as good as he was – I was excited for him coming in the year.
Yeah, I could see maybe the first week, maybe two, they kind of limit him. But I think ultimately, when it comes fantasy playoff time, week 15, 16, 17, I think Pacheco's the guy. And then, Kareem Hunt's going to maybe get a drive or two here or there, kind of Clyde Edwards-Helaire would get back in the day. I don't think Kareem Hunt is not going to be on the team or anything like that, or not even being played. Like, Carson Steele might be deactivated now with Clyde Edwards-Helaire or something like that. But I think both of these guys can still do pretty good. And then P. Ryan can do his thing still.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. I mean, I can see it both ways. I'm just – he's one where, I believe in the talent. I'm just not sure, given all the other options at the position, if I'd rather try to go somewhere else is basically what I'm saying.
Okay. Wide receivers.
This one's going to be tougher, man. Because we've had a lot of dead bodies this year, unfortunately, man.
Yeah. I mean, shit, Chris Godwin's still eighth in warp in this one that I'm looking at.
Dude, I have a redraft league with him in it. I'm actually looking at it. It's called Your Idiot League Mates. It's a 5K prize. And, it's a content league at BDG. And I'm, really trying to win that one. I had him, and with him in there, I was feeling like, man, my team is so good. Since he's been hurt, dude, I've had other injuries like Evans and Fields end up losing his job. My team is in shambles without him. Like, it's just crazy how good he was for fantasy, bro. He was amazing this year.
I had one of my home leagues. I drafted pretty well, fortunately, but I've lost him and Rashee Rice. Oh, but I still got... I still got Chase. I still got Cooper Kupp. I still have Khalil Shakir. I drafted late. I got who else did I have? I picked up Mike Williams, I believe. I picked up I drafted Brian Thomas late, and then I have one other.
You still
guy,
have a stable of receivers still.
And some idiot dropped DK Metcalf this week, so hopefully I can get DK Metcalf too.
Dude, you spend the whole clip for him. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully I get him. That would be nice.
Somebody got pretty mad at
you. So I think somebody was either had nobody to drop because he was on a bye or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's one of those where
it's one of those leagues where it's really a lot of casuals, and I
Yeah.
Been in the championship 3 years in a row kind of league.
You're excited to pay those dues because they're not coming out of your pocket, you know?
All right, exactly. All right, so wide receivers. I think Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, 1-2, pretty easy. Like, I remember, like, a couple years ago we talked about Jefferson and Chase. Like, those guys were getting, like, quarterback prices, 3 first and shit like that. I don't think it's like that anymore, but is it 2 first for any of either of those guys or 2 first and a second?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's expensive. It's expensive, dude. Absolutely.
Amon-Ra, too. I'd put Amon-Ra probably pretty close there, too.
Let me ask you, what's your feelings on Amon-Ra? I feel like I have Amon-Ra in that same league I'm talking about, and I really like him. I still think he's talented enough. And, like, this last week, he had kind of a terrible week going and then blew up. He ended up having, like, 6 catches, mm-hmm. 60, and a touchdown. I'm curious what your thoughts are. I feel like this year, because of Jameson Williams actually being pretty relevant, both, yeah, obviously Gibbs and Monty being so good, Laporta's super boomer bust. He's totally not what I bet you people expected going into the year.
Yeah, but not at all.
I don't know. I feel like his upside isn't quite as high as we were hoping for. And that's my little only fear with him. If you're going to pick,
I think it's a lot that they get up so early on people, like their defense is actually kind of solid now.
Yeah.
To where they're not in these shootout games. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And then J-Mo being in there too, they got to get him the ball. And that's cut into Laporta. They're so efficient running the ball, so that cuts into the passing attempts.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I guess if you're nitpicking here, but I would 100% be in on buying Amon-Ra. Here's my point. I'm watching Goff throw 5 picks, and they're chucking the ball around trying to come back, and he finishes with 18 points. I don't feel like the Chase thing is as much in the Amon-Ra cards right now, where Chase goes off for 55. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it feels like I'm trying to probably spend, or I'm spending close to the same price for that type of a player with Amon-Ra. I love him, by the way. If you can go get him, he's a stud, man. He's still a lead at the position.
You give it up 2 firsts for Amon-Ra?
Yeah, I am. I think once you get to, like, if I got to give 2 firsts and a second, I guess I got to go see what my other options are.
At this point, yeah.
You know what's crazy, though? At least for me, I feel like the elite receivers, they kind of get the same asking price now as the quarterbacks, like the Amon-Ras, the Chases, and those type players.
Yeah, I can see it. So I'm just going to go through and throw out some more of these names here that are on this list. So CeeDee Lamb, I mean, still CeeDee Lamb for the future, but for the rest of the season,
I was just going to say he feels like a future purchase, not a contender purchase, is my only problem with him, right?
Yep. Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, I'm still in. I'm still believing. I will say, after last week, it's like, all right, he's not like completely bust proof. Because those first 2 weeks after they got Adams, it's like, okay, have we really unlocked Garrett Wilson? He's not quite in the God tier, but he's close, man. I still think, like, even with a week like that, he's still worth purchasing 100%.
Next up is a surprising one, Terry McLaurin.
Man, Mike would love to be on the show right now, boy. Mike would love to be on the show. He has been pounding the Terry table. Those first 2 weeks, it was very unpopular to be a Terry stan. I even said, like, gosh, rest of season, what's the difference between, like, him and Rashid Shaheed? And he's made me eat my words on that. Terry McLaurin, though, if you're trying to win right now,
you give up a first for him?
Yeah. He's definitely still worth a first. And I think if you're on a rebuilder and you have McLaurin, if you're asking for more than a first, you're just an idiot. Like, you're not getting that, probably, you know?
Zay Flowers?
Man, how good is he doing, brother?
He's had some really good weeks.
Awesome.
Last week, he fucked me pretty good in the Bengals game and on some bets. But
how unlikely is it a guy like Zay Flowers, 10-WARP, unbelievable season, they have a shootout going and he's a dud? That happens?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. I feel like after 2 weeks now, everybody's forgotten about Deontay. He only played 5 snaps in that short week.
He didn't
play much the week prior. Do you have any concerns with him?
Had a good game.
And Bateman still was out there the whole time. After Deontay, they threw, I don't know if you saw this, Lamar threw it to him, and he kind of slipped on his route, middle of the field.
Yeah.
Didn't play after that. But they're going to have a long week this week. Do you have any worry of Deontay capping the upside of Zay?
A little bit, yeah. I just think there's only so much volume that they could have there with, you know, wanting to use Derrick Henry too, and right. Lamar rushing the ball too. So
the way they run, exactly.
They're not going to have 80 plays a game. As much as I'd love to see that, it's just probably not going to happen.
No, the only way that happens is if they get down big early or some shit.
Right, yeah. And they're a big play offense, so like they're not going to be methodically 5 yards, 5 yards, 5 yards every play. Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm not like out on Deontay, but it's been a slow start. Yeah, but once he gets the playbook together, they have a week 14 bye, so going into like your fantasy playoffs, maybe he's a guy that gets going there. But
right,
I kind of think he like puts up Bateman numbers like this. You
that's,
know,
that's
five
my
for
thing.
Yep. Like 10 points a game kind of thing.
You kind of – the way I'm viewing it, and obviously who knows, the way I'm viewing it is much more like if the shoddy B boom bust type of a thing I think right. might be more troublesome. I still think Zay's going to eat in this offense. The reason I say that is if anyone has any type of like, say, had a down week and Deontay's coming back, if that narrative exists, I'm 100% smashing. Let me buy Zay. I think Zay right now, you send a – a single first for Zay feels too easy. I'd probably send a first and a second, pretty non-questions asked.
Okay. Jaden
Reed.
I'm
not sending two first, though, for Zay, to be honest with you.
Okay. How about Jaden Reed?
Yeah, I'm in. I think with Jaden Reed, you just got to live and accept, man. He's going to have busts. But, man, when he booms, it is about
he's
as
like,
fucking,
he feels
it's
the
about
same
as fucking
Zay
great
Flowers
as it is.
To me. Yeah, he feels the same as Zay Flowers to me.
I think he's a sexier version because the offense, to your point, isn't as run heavy. So, like, the idea of Jaden Reed, I feel like, is higher. You know what's funny, though? You mentioned them. In just a PPR league, warp, 0.975, 0.8, 0.987. They're 9 and 10. They're, right. It's the same image, man. It really is. You're not wrong.
Yep. Next two up, Malik Nabers and Nico Collins. So Malik Nabers is obviously going to cost you an arm and a leg. So
isn't Nico
there's
there
that? I think so, but now, but he hasn't played in a couple months. But man, Nico, when he was on, man, he was cooking.
That dude was. That dude was him. It's funny because you go ahead. You tell me.
Is Nico worth the two firsts?
Yeah, I think so. It's actually kind of interesting because in this dynasty league I'm in called Fade the Fetal, I got Nico. So T-Rock wanted his flexibility back in 25. He sent me 25 first. This is an off season. 25 first and third for Nico. And at the time, I was very iffy on Nico. Is he going to end up being the one? Is he going to like separate from Stephon Diggs?
I think
Tank?
A lot of us were like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So in my head, I'm like, man, I probably shouldn't make this trade. But also in my head, I'm like, the market on Nico seems a lot higher than that. So I'm like, let me pocket Nico and try to flip Nico. It's funny because I ended up doing that. And immediately I traded him to the CJ Stroud owner. Like, here, you want the stack, don't you? So I ended up getting the 104 from him. So automatically, boom, I got the 104. But I ended up drafting Malik Nabers. So now it's like, I thought I made this sweet 4D play, and I did. But at the end of the day, it's like, is there any difference really in Nico and Malik Nabers, right?
No.
So
no,
which would you rather have?
I'd rather have Malik.
I would too. Just because his mark is higher.
Close. Yeah. They're probably like back to back if I had to do rankings right now, to be honest.
Yeah, both like top seven players.
So yeah,
I think they're just so expensive, man. I would love to have either though.
Yeah, like they're almost in the two first plus something, like with Chase and Jefferson almost, so like a tier behind that.
Yeah, I think Malik goes for the same as like Chase and Jefferson, honestly. Like it's crazy what he goes for. I think Nico though, you're right. You could probably get a two first deal done for Nico.
I think these guys are pretty similar in price, too. Drake London and A.J. Brown.
Yeah. Who would you rather have? I'd rather have A.J.
I think I'd rather have A.J. for the rest of the year, but that's pretty close. Like,
Drake, I'm not saying Drake London's a bad consolation prize because he's not a consolation prize at all. He's been awesome this year.
Yeah. Yeah, with Kirk Cousins. So, like, yeah, those guys, I'd probably be willing to pay a first and a second or a first and a Keon Coleman type one as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think these are all guys that, like, what's great about them is they, outside of CD, which is kind of interesting to think about now, he's the one guy that, like, for the contender, I wouldn't be interested in. All these other guys are like, man, I'm having my cake and eat it too, so I'll spend what I have to. You know, you get now and later.
All right, so let's take a look now at some of the guys that maybe you wouldn't think of are hammers for the rest of the season, but could be.
Okay.
Josh Downs.
I don't think he's a hammer. I think he's a really nice option. I think he's a really nice option, like a top 15, 20, 20, 25 guy for sure. Like floor play for him is ridiculously safe. He's a guy that's probably going to get you 5 to 7 catches at least every week. He's going to get you 50 yards guaranteed. But I don't know right now if he has. Yeah, he's worth a first. He's worth a first. But that's about it. Like, and that's the thing. Would you rather send a first for Terry or for him? It's easy, Terry.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. But yeah, Mike, I'm computing Josh Downs for a first in my head is not really working.
So here's the thing. I would not pay Josh Downs. I would not pay the Josh Downs owner a first for me. I think right now in his market value, he's worth a first. I'm not advocating to go do that. I would think, I just think there's so much more, there's so many more beneficial options for your team, I believe, with upside that I could spend a first on.
Right. Yep, I agree. Yep. Let's see. Okay, here's an interesting one. Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, Mooney is actually one of the guys. So it's funny. I was talking about Chuba Hubbard at the running back position. Mooney is the Chuba Hubbard, for me, of the wide receiver position. And here's, I guess, the thing with Mooney. Like, when I get to this level down in range of receiver, like what is my risk? The risk factor here. It's similar to like a Chuba Hubbard, where if his backfires, yeah, you probably bleed, you know, a second and change, whatever. But like, who gives a fuck? You're trying to go win a title. Like, Mooney's been awesome this year, and his role in this offense with the way that they use London with Bijan, and then the fact that Kyle Pitts is just so spottily used, it's like, I don't see anything changing for Mooney outside of, knock on wood, an injury, right?
Yeah. I think a second and a third is what I'd be willing to pay, but I don't even know if that gets it done.
Yeah, I'm to the point right now where, like, okay, I have some of these teams where I've been sitting on a little bit of draft capital. So let's say I have a couple examples I'll give you, Eric, where I have a first and I have two firsts and 2 or 3 seconds, right? So my team is like locked into fourth place, let's say. But when you think about all that in the chamber, I'm in a position, I'm only a game or two out of the bye. I'm looking to go secure that bye right now, right? I'm trying to go buy my way into that bye week. Dude, I'll send 2 seconds for Mooney, no problem. Like, if you have it to spend, I'll send the 2 seconds for Mooney. I think the reality is most contenders right now don't have 2 seconds sitting around for a Mooney type, you know?
Right. We talked about this guy, his quarterback earlier. What would you think about Cortland Sutton?
Gosh, this is one I was wrong on, buddy. I was like, listen, I'm like, the one person for sure at cost I don't want this year is Cortland Sutton. I'm like, when you think about it, Russ, when you look at what Russ is kind of unlocking, George Pickens. And I'm thinking, okay, like, so Cortland Sutton is a guy that he's a great contested catch guy, right? Big body. He's getting older. But if Russ and all those touchdowns he got with Russ, he couldn't get him past like wide receiver 30 something. I'm like, what the fuck is Bo Nix going to do for him? Well, buddy, that's changed quite a bit lately, huh? I mean, Cortland Sutton's been falling out of control the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? I'm actually curious where you're at with Cortland Sutton. He's a guy that I feel like he still feels uninspiring, but I think he's worth buying 100%.
I'd buy him for a second. I don't think I'd give up any more than that, though.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you. I think realistically, he is. And he's also older, so I feel like he's like this is crazy to say, he's like an unsexier version of Mooney.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's right.
Okay.
I think at a second price though, Eric, like that's you got to try to pull the trigger. Bo Nix is playing well enough to make it worth it, I think, too.
Okay. And then I'll just give a couple more names that I at least want to bring up and talk about.
Sure.
We mentioned him earlier too. Mike Evans.
Yeah.
They're on a bye, coming back. He should be back in week 12.
One more week and then Edmonds. So
it's funny because he's like a guy that could be a top 10 warp player when he comes back. So I kind of want to buy some Mike Evans. Yeah.
I don't disagree at all. I think with Evans, it's weird because like at this point in the year, I'm not trying to buy guys that still are on bye, but Evans will be the exception because like by the time the bye is over, whatever that little window is going to be slam close. Like, it's now he's playing, it's over. So, Yeah, I'm buying Evans.
You got to do it now. Yeah, you have to do it this week.
I think this is the week to try to do it. Can I get someone that has him? They need a player. They need a pick, whatever. Yeah, I'm trying to go get him. Evans, to me, is worth, gosh, what would you send, though, for Evans?
I think if you wait until when he comes back, it's probably a first. If you do it now, you can maybe do a second, 2 seconds, yeah.
I think so, too.
Second and Keon Coleman, something like that.
I would like to send, if I can keep Mike Evans at a price where it's 2 seconds or a second and a couple third, whatever that is, where I'm not spending a full liquid first, yeah, I'm smashing that.
Send him. Okay. All right, last two. Cleveland Browns legend Cedric Tillman.
Oh, all right. Here's where I'm at with Tillman. Love what I've seen, and I think for the rest of the year, it really.
I think as long as Jameis is in,
it rides on. Are they going to keep that guy, that goofball, in there? Because here's my concern, and I've seen enough Cleveland. I know you have too, to have my reservation just ever so slightly. Mm-hmm. Like they're so weird about this DTR thing. Like when in this analytic department, they hate admitting they're wrong so much. Like with Schwartz, it's like this guy has to keep playing, even though we all know he's not going to work. Right. They won't admit their misses to the point where it's like DTR. He's our second quarterback. Like he's the backup to Watson. For as soon as Watson's done, like Jameis is our starter. The reason I say all that is because we're in the territory of not making the playoffs. It's over. So don't you want to see what you have in DTR at some point if you're that committed to him? That's my concern. That's my concern right there. They turn this offense to DTR and it nukes the entire thing for fantasy, Eric. We're talking about just, ugh, I want nothing. So
like PJ Walker's fucking back in there again.
We had last year scary vibes again. That was awful. Watching that offense was so bad last year and with no Nick Chubb. Anyway, all that to say,
and
Cedric Tillman, I'm cautiously buying.
The 49ers with PJ Walker.
Yeah, imagine
the
that.
The NFC champs. Crazy. All right, last one, speaking of 49ers. So
for Cedric, though, I'm cautiously buying to the point of just real quickly, like, if you want to send a late second, like a contender second, I'm in. I feel like if you start getting past that, I think you have safer options.
I'm good with that. And then the last one I want to bring up, who I really, really like, is Juwan Jennings for the 49ers. Had a really good week this week, led the team in receiving yards.
Where's your what's your cautious level, though, of Ricky P?
I like Ricky. I think Jennings is like the actual like
Ayuk.
Yeah, like he's the replacement right now, and you know, Debo's still gonna do his thing. Pearsall's gonna be really good too. But I think Juwan Jennings isn't like he should be like 10 fantasy points a game at least. I would think 5 for 50. I think he gets you that.
What would you spend for him? Because I think what I'm hearing, and I just want to hear the purchase price, basically, because here's my thing with it, right? When I look at the Niners, even with Purdy, the thing that's so nice for Purdy is when he has CMC back there, even you lose Ayuk, and you just basically say Jennings was a walk-in replacement, or if it turns into Ricky P, they have so many options, it's just easy. Just deliver the ball to who's open and get the ball to your playmakers, right?
Right.
My problem is I'm looking at Kittle, I'm looking at CMC, I'm looking at still Debo, who's not been anywhere the upside, but he's still going to get his touches. You got Jennings and you got Ricky P. I feel like my concern overall with the offense is that I think that there's room for four, and is it really, do we have three and two inconsistent ones?
Right. I mean, that's kind of how it's always been,
Yeah.
But they've been super efficient, too, to where they've had everybody be able to do something. Like, maybe one of them was shit, so I get it. I think I'd be willing to do a second and a third.
Yeah, I think I'm probably with Jennings. That's the Tillman price for me. If I have my contender second and I can send it for Jennings, I'm in. If it gets past that, I'd rather, like, go to the Evans table.
I'd rather go different.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with Jennings.
I'm good with that. All right. And then last position, tight ends, which I think is going to be pretty easy.
Yeah,
I would say.
Which ones do you care about? Let's hear this. This will be interesting.
Kittle, Kelsey, Bowers, McBride. I still have a hard time putting Otten in there.
Yeah, Otten in a weird way might actually be better off when Evans is back. Like this last week, it was like he felt a little more blanketed. But to your point, I don't think he's any. I think he's a little bit fake value.
I had Evan Ingram in there, but if Trevor Lawrence doesn't play the rest of the season, no thanks.
Mac who? Ugh.
Yeah. And the last one would be Njoku.
Yeah, I think Njoku.
So Kittle, yeah, Kelsey, Bowers, that. McBride, and Njoku. I think those guys are pretty set here. Kate Otten is a possibility. Kyle Pitts is a possibility. Mark Andrews is probably a possibility. Tucker Kraft. After that, it's like just randos. Even like Kincaid and Laporta, I don't put up there.
Yeah, I think Kincaid is a sell for me anywhere. Period. I want out of that business, and if it's anywhere near the old cost, I'll take it. I think to me, first big disclosure. If you're not in a league that has at least, Eric, I'm talking at least two. No more of this 1.75 for me. Two tight end premium. I don't care. I'm good. You guys can have the tight ends. I'll shop in the bargain bin waiver wire store if I have to. Okay. If I'm at two or higher, that's what I'll kind of discuss about the tight end position, right? Just making that notice. If you're at two or higher and you want to go try to get one, I get it. To me, Kittle is the perfect one as long as he's not locked in on a contender, because he is boom or bust, but man, when the booms happen, it's crazy, bro. Like just lock it in, set him and forget it. I feel like Njoku would probably be the next person that I'm targeting because I think he costs the least. And
yeah,
there's just nothing really else outside of Tillman. And if Winston's at the helm, holy crap, he's actually a really nice
option. You might
find
some teams like that were middle of the pack or out of it that have Kelsey because he was so bad early on. So I think he could be had, gettable.
Yeah,
he'd
be had. Yeah.
But I think.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think even in like regular tight end premium or no tight end premium at all, just 1 point catch or 1.75, 1.5, whatever. Kittle, Kelsey, Bowers, McBride, and maybe Njoku. Those are the five. After that, I'm with you. I could care less. But if I'm a contender and I know I'm the 12 seed, 11 seed, I'm gonna have a first round bye.
Yeah.
And my tight end I'm playing with is fucking Cole Kmet, Noah Fant, Evan Ingram, Gesicki, yeah. Somebody. Like if I can go get one of those five hammer tight ends, I'm doing it. Now Bowers is probably like impossible to get. Like people are gonna want.
I was about to say
like
Bowers
17 first. Yeah.
I was about to say Bowers to me is the one that we can I don't care what the format is, you can probably take him off the list because one. His value is outrageous. Two, rebuilders right. Want to rebuild around him. It's just like, what are we doing? So Bowers, I'm out on. The other ones, here's the thing. The other ones realistically in those
McBride
formats
and
would
Bowers,
come to
I think,
cost. They'd come to cost.
Yeah.
I'm not sending
McBride
a first,
and Bowers
though,
are probably one,
leagues.
Two. Okay.
Like, that's what I'm asking. Let me ask you, actually, because I want your opinion. I want other people's opinions, too. What do you have on, let's say you're in a 1.5 tight end premium, okay? And you have, let's say you got Gesicki. Let's make a hypothetical example that relates to a lot of different situations.
Right.
You got Gesicki. You got a really good team. You're probably going to have a bye. What would you be willing to spend, let's say, for the Kelsey purchase or the McBride?
If I know I'm probably going to be the 111, 112, I got a really good team, I'm fine sending that for Kittle or Kelsey.
The first?
If I know I'm a 111, 112, like I think when it comes to draft day and you think about it, like, you know, am I getting Evan fucking Stewart at 111 or something like that? You know, kind of think of a player off the top of my head. Like, I think that having that stud tight end for your championship run is more important than having the 111, 112.
I would agree. Here's my counters. And the reason if you told me that, though that was true, right? I'm a 111, 112. And you told me that you know that you can tell me for sure that McBride and that Kelsey are going to be the top five tight ends, top three tight ends. Transaction made. Here's my biggest problem. Last year, who were the ones that won leagues? David Njoku, Evan Ingram.
Right.
You could end up buying for the whole
Johnson.
First purchase. Right. Yes, that's the thing is the position, one, doesn't offer enough in warp, I believe. And then two, it's not like you're not auto-ticketing the top tight end for the price. Like, it's not like the old days where you just get Kelsey and Kelsey's guaranteed to be tight end one or Andrews is guaranteed to be tight end two. That's my biggest problem is it feels like I'm wanting to secure that tight end spot, but I could end up looking and somebody that starts David Njoku that week, which I maybe could have had on a different league for a 208.
Right.
They beat me because of David Njoku. That's, I think, my biggest problem with it in general where the warp gets higher, all right, fuck it. Like, let's. I gotta play ball.
I think I have a little more confidence in Kittle and Kelce the way that they're being used right now. Like, they're gonna be in the top five tight ends weekly. Like, I think I'm pretty confident in that. So that's kind of where I would.
I see. So you feel like you're closer to actually buying.
I'm getting a top five tight end. Like, yeah. So I'm either my opponent has the other Kittle, you know, has Kittle and I have Kelce, or they have Bowers or McBride or whoever. Like, I'm at least competing with them, or I'm going to beat them because my guy's the tight end one in the week.
Got it.
So, and I'm thinking, this is like only if I have the shit tight ends. I'm starting Cole Kmet. I'm starting Zach Ertz. I'm starting Mike Gesicki and all these guys that are like just inconsistent.
Yeah.
That's the only way I want to upgrade the position to Kittle, Kelce. And I think Kittle and Kelce could easily be had just because they weren't very expensive to begin with. And now they're in the situation so where they're the number one guys on their team just about, you know, receiving wise.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I'm in the lower scoring formats, I'm less interested because of the combination. I get it. I do think here's what I think. I think that Kelce and I think you're on to the point of Kelce and Kittle probably are going to finish, I think, more like top eight every week, because I'm still there though. Like, they're the most reasonable to be safe every single week to be a difference maker top at the five, position.
Right.
Yeah. The problem is, like, I look at just the last 2 weeks and I'm like, Gesicki tight end 1, Kate Otten tight end 3, Josh Oliver tight end 4, Taysom Hill tight end 5, and then last week you obviously had more consistent, it was Kelce, Andrews, but Tanner Hudson and Gesicki, two different tight ends from the freaking Bengals, are in the top 3 every week. So I guess that's my concern, is like, I feel like I don't know that I'm buying for sure the plays in the playoffs. To your point though, listen, if you're sending away the 112, 111, it's not going to be the worst thing in the world.
I would say for best ball, you're probably right. Like, you know, you're just going to get whatever rando scores high that week.
But and you know what? That's probably the truth. That's probably the truth, because I play in like 90% tight ends or best ball.
If I'm in a lineup league, though, you know, getting a Kittle, Kelce, and locking that in is probably more beneficial.
I agree with that point, too. If it's a lineup league, you're a little more set in and forget it.
Yeah. Any more tight ends that we should bring up that I haven't mentioned?
Hopefully not.
There is one more that I forgot.
Okay, who you got?
It's because he came back from injury, and that's Hockenson. They're using Hockenson like
a god. It's funny. I was just about to say, and also last week, Hockenson was a top five finisher at the position.
Yeah, he had 8 catches or something, so he's back. Like, they're going to pepper the shit out of him. So that would be another guy I would throw up in this list, too, that I could maybe try and go get.
Yeah. He worries me a little bit from a...
Like, he worries me a little bit from 26.
If he has a setback, but man... He might be the threading the needle if you could get him. Like, if he stays healthy for the rest of the year and he's a warp difference maker, and then going into next year, you're like, I got a stud too.
Would you feel more confident in trading your 111, 112 for him over Kittle and Kelce?
No, because
then you get him for next year too?
I do get that. Here's my biggest thing. If I was going to lean into that, in a two-putt tight end premium, for example, right? I'm trying to go win right now, and I think Kelce and Kittle offer me better upside weekly. So, like, if I'm going to play it, let me just go ahead and go get what I think is the big dick at the table. The thing with Hock, I'm a little more – like, if I'm going to do this, right, if I'm going to lean into the tight end, I don't want to be, like, worried about next year. Go win this year. Like, forget – we'll worry about next year. Like, let's go win right now. So, if I had the chance, I would buy those other two. Honestly, almost at cost, because the tight end position in general, I don't really care. I'm not going to go spend much more than a first. So, period.
Right.
At cost, I'd probably rather have Kelce or Kittle. Kittle, to me in particular, is a guy that I still think is going to play for a few more years. He's still got it.
Yeah, I think
Kelce's
too,
riding to the you're he riding loves you're the riding dangerous.
So much, yeah.
Kittle's a maniac, man. I love watching him play. He's crazy. Yeah. You know.
Did you see him on the Receiver Netflix show? He was awesome. Him and his wife.
Dude, yeah, heck yeah. Bro, he's Mike has to love him too, just an Iowa guy, crazy, loves every minute of his life. He's
so full of life. He loves blocking. Like, he fucking loves it.
He literally eats, breathes, sleeps football. He's just a football fanatic.
Yeah. Yeah, you just can't like not love the guy. I get it.
Nah, Kittle's awesome, bro. Kittle's he's like a maniac out there. I just love him.
Yeah. All right. That's it for this one. Let's do America's favorite game, then we'll get on out of here. So I got two of them off the top of my head. I'm going to let you pick. Do you want to do movies or do you want to do a sports one?
Let's go sports. I was actually about to do movies, but I was just thinking, bro, my lack of watching movies lately is so bad that let me play where I'm a little safer.
The
safer
movie
water.
One was easy, but I'll give you the sports one. So,
all right, let's do it.
With the big fight this weekend, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson on Netflix for boxing. So that's
is it
pretty
is
cool.
It a big fight?
I think there's a lot of interest in it.
Well, there's a Mike ton Tyson. Of interest. Yeah. Here's my only question with this thing: is it actually real?
Probably not. They're getting both paid 50, 60 mil.
That's my biggest thing is like,
yeah.
That's my only concern with it is like, is this shit real? Because like, I feel like Mike Tyson, even at this age, could kill a person. So like, right. I don't. If he's not winning this thing in a big way, I have my reservations about it. But I think it's been marketed amazingly. I think there's a ton of money involved, and I think you're not wrong. It's a ton of interest around this fight for sure. It's interesting. Yeah. It's on Netflix too.
Yeah, I mean they just made the deal on that. So Netflix is becoming big, man. With
huge.
WWE coming on there now, starting in January, that's going to be huge for them. So they're doing big business.
That's this Friday, right? The 15th.
The fight, yes, Friday the 15th. Yep.
Yep.
And they already have their 24/7 show that's on there too. I think the third episode drops today. Actually, I got to start watching them. I haven't watched them yet, so hopefully I can.
Yeah,
get them all in. But anyways,
you'll binge them for sure. I have no doubt.
Oh yeah. So who's your favorite boxer of all time?
Oh, ooh. Okay. I'm thinking sports, and this was not a question I was expecting. Man,
I think I may have done this with Mike before, but
have you?
With you,
okay.
You're on here. Yeah. So,
no. Yeah. This was a good one. I think, man. Favorite boxer of all time is a tough one, brother, because like, I feel like boxing was such an awesome sport.
Me and you are like close same age, so we've probably seen a lot of the same fights. We lived through the Mike Tyson pay-per-view era.
Yeah, I was going to say like
Holyfield.
The Holyfield. Holyfield to me was, he's not my favorite. He was one that I did really like, though. He was tough. The Holyfield ear Mike Tyson thing, I'm sure everyone here listening has heard of it, and if you haven't, you got to go. At least kind of check that out.
That was the
most ridiculous thing I think I've ever seen, bro. Like, really, that was crazy. Mike Tyson, that's what I'm talking about with Mike Tyson, for the record. Like, that dude could kill somebody. He bit someone's ear off, man, in a fight.
Right.
I don't think he's my favorite fighter, but I think Mike Tyson, because of the age that I was in, like, you just, anytime he was fighting, I had to watch it. He dominated.
Like, people bought the $50 pay-per-views and had big parties. Like, it was a big deal.
I think my answer is going to end up being Tyson because I easily watched the most of him, and to me, he was just so feared and dominant that like unless you were kind of watching around the time or you kind of went back and watched documentaries or focused on it at all, you may not realize like this guy was a problem and he was scary. He's nuts. He's actually like kind of certifiable too. It's kind of cool to see his personality as. Things have shifted in society, but Mike Tyson's a freaking menace, man.
Yeah. So I used to watch a ton of boxing when I was younger. I think they were on, it was either Friday or Saturday Night Boxing on HBO.
Yeah.
So obviously Mike Tyson.
I used to watch it at my buddy's house every time I was over there.
Yeah, it was great, great shit. And obviously Mike Tyson was probably like the first boxer that I liked just because he was just such a badass, you know, and I would always be at these parties with, you know, parents and uncles and aunts and all that watching Mike Tyson fight. So that was naturally one of my ones. But watching HBO boxing on Fridays, like some of the younger guys that were coming up were on there. So Oscar De La Hoya would be on there before he got so big he had to go to pay-per-view. So I loved Oscar De La Hoya. There was like Roy Jones Jr. was on there.
Roy Jones was awesome.
He was a beast. Sugar Shane Mosley was fun to watch. Trying to think of who else was on in that era. But there was a whole bunch of guys that I liked during that era, too. And then, you know, as we got further along, I really liked Floyd Mayweather. I know a bunch of people hate him because he's cocky. But you know what? The motherfucker backs it up.
Yeah, and like, I guess here Mayweather is not going to be my favorite, and the reason I say that is like, Mike Tyson, every time he stepped in the ring, like, he was going to leave with your ear and knock you out. Like, right. That's what I'm signing up for. Like, yeah. Floyd Mayweather, I'm going to watch this dude get somebody real tired and then win in, like, a long stamina race.
It's different. Yeah, it's a different type of boxing. Yeah,
that's the thing with boxing to me is, like, there's such – fighters in general, like, if you watch football, right, there's different styles of play. Like, right now to me, part of the thing with the Chargers, while they're good, it's not as fun to watch – brand of football, right?
I know exactly what you're talking about because I used to love watching Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Fucking the shittiest offense you could ever fucking watch in your life. Guy's right. Like struggling to throw the ball, but motherfucker wasn't entertaining, man. And fourth quarter came around. It was like 14-11, and this motherfucker brought him back every time somehow.
Somehow throws the touchdown in that overtime game versus the Steelers when he.
I loved watching Tebow, but the rest of the game was terrible. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and so like for me, like Mayweather obviously brought in the money. He was gonna win. Yep. He absolutely was dominant. It was just to me, I think a lot of people that didn't more casuals or novices would watch it and think something was gonna happen so much differently than what the outcome very likely was gonna be. He's gonna get somebody real tired, it's gonna be a stamina fight, he's gonna go the distance and he's gonna win. Like Tyson to me though, this dude could have this fight over. Yeah. And he might have paid pay-per-view for a 45-second fight, but it would have been worth every bit of that money you spent because Tyson was just a freaking animal.
Right. Yeah, so I would probably say De La Hoya was one of my favorites. I always liked watching his fights. I'm just going to look through some of his matches that he had. Julio Cesar Chavez, those were some good fights. Pernell Whitaker were some good fights.
De La Hoya was tough.
Yeah, he was a tough dude. Felix Trinidad was a fucking good fighter, too. I don't think he gets mentioned too much. I talked about Mosley. Arturo Gatti was a good one. Fernando Vargas, he came along here.
I forgot about him.
Yeah, he was decent. Bernard Hopkins. Yeah, so there was a lot of those, like, younger, I don't know, they're middleweights or whatever they were, lightweights. I liked a lot of those fights. Lightweight welterweights where De La Hoya was at. There was a lot of like really, really good boxing in that weight class. Yeah. The heavyweights, like after Tyson and Holyfield, and then went to Lennox Lewis, dominated for a couple years. After that, like it kind of just phased out until.
I think that honestly was part of the reason that it. Not the entire reason. There was a lot of different reasons why boxing kind of, took a big step back from what it's once prominent itself. But the heavyweights, I think, always for a lot of just people that are going to watch it, not necessarily every single weekly, right? They wanted to see the heavyweight just fall off was real. Like it went from you had Tyson and Holyfield, and then you said Lennox Lewis, and then it was like,
and then the next one after
that
was like
top dog.
There was the Klitschkos. From Ukraine, and that was it. Yeah. I mean, they were okay, but like it was like after Tyson and Holyfield and Lennox Lewis a little bit, like the heavyweight scene just completely dropped off. But
it died.
A lot of the good boxing was De La Hoya and those guys and Mayweather coming up and Mosley and Roy Jones Jr. All those like lighter weights, middleweights, welterweights. That's where like the real good boxing was at, fun boxing. And then like the heavyweight scene kind of dropped off. But once in a while, you'll get that like phenom. Heavyweight guy, and that like turns like, oh, like this is must see again,
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that would be massive for
it's like now, though, it's like we're in a different age of now. It's like the celebrity boxing, like the Jake Pauls and Mike Tyson coming back, and like that. And that's like
society's
the
changed
one.
Too much because you
Mayweather and Conor McGregor,
right? Well, that I was just gonna say because Conor McGregor is a perfect. WWE, MMA, right? Like MMA, I think in general was the bigger thing, right? Because, and the reason it's such a big deal is these guys have found a way to make more money and monetize so much more that it just, the old school way just isn't really, it's just different now. Everything's so changed. These guys, if they want to be a personality, like if you're Conor McGregor and you're that good at fighting, and your personality like that, like you have the world at your disposal. You don't need anyone to do anything for you.
And I'm surprised Connor hasn't gone to WWE because his character persona would fit perfect. I'm surprised he hasn't done it.
He's pretty awesome. He will live the test of time because he has.
I mean, Ronda Rousey went and did it after her MMA career, and she had a couple year good run. Like, it may not have ended up the way that she wanted, but she was pretty big deal for WWE there for a couple years. So, I get
for
it.
Sure, for sure. I mean, I will say though, to your point on this, it's the nostalgia of back in the day and how big boxing was and. Fridays and the HBO and the big fights were it feels very different now than but it was a really fun time to watch that stuff, man.
Yeah, it's not as mainstream as popular as it used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, so. But it was I miss watching the old school days of I was a kid though. I was really young, but watching some Mike Tyson fights.
Oh yeah, it was great, man. I'd sit there and watch it, and then fucking Oz would come on afterwards, a show that little fucking sixth grader shouldn't be watching, and it was great.
Fucking 100%,
dudes shanking each other in prison and doing all kinds of stuff we probably shouldn't say on here.
I'm
watching that shit in like fifth, sixth grade. It was great. I loved it.
That was a what a time to be alive, you know?
Right, yeah. All right, man. Appreciate you coming on, Adam. That appreciate was a good you having episode, me on, man.
Heck yeah.
Talking.
Hopefully we help people get some
deals done. Yeah.
Yeah, I think even you may already kind of have those.
Even just
an
to
idea
think
those
about
players.
Your roster, yeah.
You may have an idea of what players we talked about, but hopefully we gave you a few extra players to target. And I think in general. More so the discussion on like the price points and what we would send and ideas, I think, will help people unlock some trades. So if you end up getting some trades done for the trade show also from this episode, you know, put them in the Discord and let us know, man. AG, inspired by AG or something like that.
Hell yeah. Yeah, definitely. Sign up on the Discord there, patreon.com/SouthHardman. Sign up there. Come join us in the Discord. That's always good. Join the podcast feed there, the South Harmon Fantasy Football podcast feed. Always good stuff on there. 4D's back. Koopa Show drops on there. My shows drop on there. The Waiver Wire Show, AG, all
AG,
that good stuff.
AG Grinding the
on
Edge,
there.
Waiver Wire. We got it all, man, on the podcast feed. If you're if you're listening to this, you're already here. But, man, you better – if you haven't listened to other shows, if you've been an AG truther but you haven't listened, we got a whole lineup on here. Really good stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the YouTube too, man. Like you were just on. Why can't I think of the name of Fizzle? Yeah, Cook Up with Fizzle. Has Fizzle Fridays. He does a live show on Friday nights.
That Fizzle Fridays is entertaining, man.
Yeah, Maddie's got a show. You know, everybody's got
Maddie's
a show
got the
on
game
there.
Plan there. It's
game plan.
The,
yep.
We got a good lineup, man. Make sure you check out the YouTube if you haven't checked out. The YouTube, I know at this point in the year, it's like a grind. Sometimes you feel like you're at capacity, but if you're looking for shows, I promise you, we got you covered in one way, shape, or form, 100% at South Harmon, man.
Info, entertainment, making fun of each other. We got it all.
we always at some point, unless it's a solo show with just you, there may not be as much. We always got some making fun of somebody banter, right. 100% locked in. Right. That much you can count on for sure.
Making fun of a fan base, making fun of the Browns. It's great.
Facts.
All right. Well, I am at Eric Vanek NFL, at America's Game Pod, and at South Harmon FF for YouTube and Twitter. So make sure you guys follow there. Follow Adam at ATM4DChess on Twitter as well. Check out all his stuff he's got going on with BDGE and any of the South Harmon stuff. But, anything else you want to plug, Adam, before we get on out of here?
No, man. South Harmon YouTube, South Harmon podcast feed. If you're looking for more stuff, do some stuff with BDGE Media. And that's it, man. It's kind of crazy thinking how far along we are into the season. We're going into week 11. It's like when it starts, you've been waiting for it so long, and then it just, before you know it, it's like, man, it feels like it's about to be done.
It feels like we just did the draft.
I know, like, man. It's crazy. It feels
we
like
did
we just
our
had some of those
9-hour draft podcast or whatever it was. And
yeah. Yep. Here we are. But listen, man, it's not going to wait for you, so go make those trades now.
Absolutely. That's the best way to end it there. So we will see you guys next week, episode 60. 9. Gotta have Mike on for episode 16.
Man, I was about to say, I can't believe I got 16. 16 or... Love y'all.